It's time.
What? Okie dokie!
What?
What?
To fill your ears with WGN Nightside.
Hey, I read about the show in Teen Modern Maturity.
Tonight, we present two guys with nothing important to say.
You're such a disappointing pair.
And about 2 hours to say it in.
Isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do?
Ponderous.
Say hello to Rich Coase.
Hello.
And Jim Roach.
Hello. Hello.
You're coming out of an up-tempo record, and you're talking about a dog dying. All right, I heard Casey there. Well, welcome back. This is WGN Nightside coming to you live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. I think that's where we are. Let me check my GPS. I'm Jim Roach.
And I'm Rich Coase, and we're happy to have you joining us here. Remember, you can call or text us at 312-981-7200. We'll try to talk to you, and we've got somebody special we're going to talk to now, a good friend of ours, a two-time Emmy-nominated makeup artist, and he's been doing makeup in films and television for more than 30 years. And I tell you, he's worked with Academy Award-winning makeup artists Rick Baker, Greg Canham, and Michael Westmore from the famous Westmore family of makeup people. Some of Michael's credits include The Ben Stiller Show, Universal Soldier, Star Trek Enterprise, and Mad TV, tying in with me being in Mad Magazine this month, plus makeup effects for big theme parks like Universal. And he ran makeup 17 times there, more than any other person. Let's say hello to Michael Burnett. Michael, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. Great to be with you guys.
Well, it's great. I know you've been really busy the past month or so with a special event at Warner Brothers Studio. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, last night was the final night. So I'm in California now. Warner Brothers started, Warner Brothers has a pretty big history with horror films, like The Exorcist, a whole ton of them. So they decided to get into the Halloween thing with, and they also do. It's a team studio that has a pretty intimate tour. You get a really good behind the scenes thing, and so they kind of version of that. Had some haunted houses. We had Camp Solo. Jason, literally, you were walked. Just literally, cat.
Michael,
it was like you were.
I'm sorry, Michael, you're breaking up a little bit here. Is there something we can do to rectify that?
You're too close to the sun, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you lose me?
Yeah. Oh, there you are.
No, now you're clear. For a while, you were breaking up there. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, please continue.
I was just chatting away. So I don't know what you missed there. So we did, so this year, this is the second year of the Warner Brothers event. It's called Horror Made Here. And we had Jason, and one of the coolest things about Jason was you were like, haunted houses inside of a building or a tent or whatever they're using.
Sure.
And what we had was we actually had you were outdoors at a lake, and you walked up at the lake. One of the camp counselors came screaming out, and Jason literally walked out of the lake.
Chased
you up. It was pretty cool. It was literally like being in a horror film. So it was pretty cool. But we had Jason and Freddie, the Exorcist, a really cool, kind of like a haunted house. It's really more like interactive theater, where you go and you were watching like sort of a clips of the Exorcist in a church, which, probably isn't a good idea. And of course, everything went crazy, and Reagan actually appears in the middle of this when the demonic possession takes over and the building starts shaking, and it's really cool. It's more like interactive theater than like what you would think of as a typical haunted house.
Well, and Michael, one of the things when we were talking a few weeks ago, you were telling me about the discussions of getting these things prepared for this haunted house, and the numbers were daunting. What did they? How many figures did you do for this haunted house event?
For this one, we did, my wife Lynn, who works with me, we made, I want to say it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 dead bodies and various and various body parts.
That is so cool to get an order for that. I love that.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, so I want a hanging upside down guy, I want one guy that's in half, you know, we get this, you know, and it's really crazy when we're driving around with a carload of them, I'm always afraid I'm going to get pulled over.
And I would imagine air travel's a little tricky.
Yeah, I've had some interesting times. One time, in fact, I was working on the Jamie Kennedy experiment, which was sort of a hidden camera show.
Mm-hmm.
We had this one gag that they wanted to try to talk some people into that there was a deceased woman, and we're going to try to get these people to actually pick her up.
Oh, man.
So they wanted it to feel, it had to feel like a real, like a real body. So I actually, I took a skeleton, you know, an anatomical plastic skeleton,
mm-hmm.
and cast it inside the rubber body. So when you felt through the skin, like when you feel your own arm or your finger where you can feel the bone inside of it, when you felt the body, you could feel the bones through it.
So,
the head and the hands, you know, those were the critical parts because that's what you were going to actually see. Everything else was covered with clothing.
Rich and I were referring to a little bit of something you did for us, and Rich, he's going to...
I should explain. People who watch the Svengoolie show probably remember Tombstone, the talking skull. Now, I should explain, Tombstone was originally just a skull model, a plastic skull model that we put on a black stick, and the jaw was operated, highly technical, by a piece of fishing line that was attached to the jaw. And the jaw was attached to the head with rubber bands, and that was made the jaw snap up and down. Now, in the time that I had this thing since 1979... we did have to replace the rubber bands once, but as we were going along, they were just not working, and it was going to be real difficult to get in there and kind of fix them, and we were lucky that you came along, Michael, to help us. Explain how you updated Tombstone.
Yeah, I wanted to get, you know, bring you a little more into modern technology. So I actually added servos to Tombstone. So they're operated by radio control. So kind of like you'd use for a radio controlled airplane or a car. We have a transmitter that transmits a signal, and then you operate a joystick that would make the jaw open and close. We use that for things, you know, really elaborate heads that have like eye blinks and lips and stuff might have, you know, 10 or 15 servos.
Wow.
Tombstone, you know, he's a little simpler. He has one for his jaw, but I also thought it would be cool to add, because when, you know, your original version was on the stick, so he couldn't move other than his jaw.
Right.
So I added a left and right head movement, so he could kind of turn and look towards you or up, you know, just towards something. So he's got two joysticks, one that that turns his head left and right, and one that opens his jaw.
Now, I remember you told us that, talking about using a lot of those, when you did Harry and the Hendersons, in order to get Harry to make the expressions, you had a ton of those, didn't you?
Yeah, Harry, I mean, there were a bunch of different heads on Harry. The hero head that was probably used most of the time, it had something, I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 servos.
Wow.
And those are all, what was cool about that, and that was the job I did with Rick Baker. He had designed that, Simeon, you know, eight characters are his thing, and Harry was pretty impressive. And up to that time, most masks like that were done with cables. So there'd be these big, long cables running out, a bunch of cables, almost like an umbilical cord coming out of the back of the creature, which limited, you know, how far he could run or whatever. So the adding that radio control element really freed it up, and he could go, could do just about anything and without having to worry about, you know, tangling up on or tripping on cables.
That did make things a lot simpler. And believe me, this is so cool with Tombstone. It's still, I'm still getting used to operating it, but it's so much easier now. And you did a great job for us. We appreciate it. Now, tell me this, though.
Thank you.
I think I read this, that you did a seminar just recently on how to make your own shrunken heads.
Yeah, actually, that was this past Saturday. We did a class at Spooky Empire, which is a horror convention that's every October in Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
We actually sold out. We had 20 people there that were all wanted to make their own shrunken head. So Lynn, my wife, and I, we have a kit that we sell. It's like a model kit. You know, it has the rubber shrunken head and the hair and the twine to sew the mouth and the base and everything. And just like any other model kit, you paint it and do all the finish work. But with that class, we did it with them and kind of showed them painting techniques that we use and things like that. So it was pretty fun. And it's really cool to see how many, you know, we had somebody make one with a mohawk. Somebody did a Fu Manchu and did like a whole different, you know, one guy, he was kind of balding. So he made the hair match his own hair. So I guess he was doing a shrunken head of himself. So it was a lot of fun. And it's really cool to see how people get into that.
Well, Michael, I'm always thinking, and I'm hearing this about the shrunken heads, and I think you need to accessorize and make little tiny hats for the shrunken heads.
Oh, what God.
All right, I'll be quiet now.
Really?
I got a couple of groans on that one.
What you work on, Michael, is what we call practical effects as opposed to computer-generated ones. And I have to say, personally, I'm a big fan of the practical effects because mm-hmm. I just think when you see that stuff and you realize all the work that goes into it, it's just so impressive.
Oh, thanks. Me too. I'm a big fan. You know, and the CG, the computer generated effects, and have come so far. But I'm the same. You know, I'm old school. I grew up on, you know, Outer Limits and Star Trek and,
sure.
and Star Wars and all those movies before there was CG. So you know, I'm sure that kind of taints my. And not to mention, that's how I make my living. If everything went CG, I don't know what I'd be doing. But the CG, I always like. A lot of times, I'll work with CG artists because there's things that we just can't do. You know, like we can't.
Sure.
We can add on to somebody, but we can't take off. So, like, if somebody has, we need to, you know, if it's like a zombie that got a hole, you know, through them. We can't do that. So, but we could make the prosthetic. We can make a really cool, you know, zombie look, and then the CG guys can make it look like there's a hole all the way through the body, which we couldn't, which we could not do practically. So, I love the mixing of the technologies. Is probably my favorite way to use it.
Michael, a question for you: is there something that you watch right now, something on television or Netflix or something that you really admire their work in the special effects and like you guys were talking about the realistic effects? Is there anybody out there who's doing it right?
Oh, there's a bunch of people. You know, TV has really come a long way. There's some shows that are pretty amazing. There's a new one out that I've seen some pretty impressive effects called. It's 911. It's like an emergency
right.
kind of show, and they have these crazy stuff. And in fact, Erin Kruger McCash, who's a makeup artist that I've worked with for years and years, she's the department head on that show. And Lynn and I were just at a Halloween party at her house, which was pretty cool because it was all makeup artists. So it was pretty impressive stuff there. But, they, you know, and especially for TV, I mean, TV doesn't typically have the budget or the time that movies do.
Right.
And that show, that's one of the new shows. I think it's in its first season. And, of course, you know, like Walking Dead, just does some amazing zombies. I have lots of friends that, and we actually recreated a lot of them, for when I ran the makeup at Universal, we did several years of Walking Dead.
Oh, neat.
One And one of my favorite things about what Walking Dead has done over the years is they've done like little homage zombies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they would do one that was like from, you know, from American Werewolf. They had like sort of a jack.
Right.
You know, not exactly, but if you're familiar, if you're a fan, you look at it and go, oh, that's totally Jack. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I saw that they did.
It's almost like Easter eggs.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's really fun for the fans, and it's still, they're really cool makeups.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are a lot of fun.
That's great. Now, a friend of mine, when he was telling me about makeup, and, you know, for example, the makeup I do as Svengoolie is very simple and very basic, and the guy said, you know, it's like you're an artist, and you're basically drawing on the face. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, for paint makeup, it's exactly what we're doing. You know, that's our canvas is, and you know, one of the things that's tough to do is, you know, because human skin is translucent, and when you're painting, paint is opaque, so that you've got to learn techniques to be able to do that. Like you see these amazing, you know, oil paintings from, well, even current ones, but you know, just some of the real famous oil paintings that almost have. Look like, you know, skin, that's because of the layering of colors that they do. And we have to do that same kind of thing with makeup so that it matches, you know, so we can match their real skin tone and get that translucency. You know, when you're doing something, you know, everything from face painting, which is a little more, a little bolder and a little more cartoonish, you still have to know how to blend and how to use highlights and shadows. It's definitely an art background is definitely, you know, what most people have that do this kind of stuff.
Well, Michael, we can't thank you enough for coming on with us tonight. This is it's always a treat. You have so many interesting stories, and we could go on forever, but we can't because we got to move on. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I always love talking to you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Michael.
Thanks. All right. Have a good one.
Happy Halloween.
Woo!
Thanks. Happy Halloween.
All right.